the mind is not central. Your mind is not a personal private possession, but characterizes objects. And your mind sticks, your ideas about objects stick to the object. And your ideas, your feelings about things belong to things. And this is really another way of talking about the living universe. The universe is dead because we killed it. And we killed it by taking the life from it, and taking the mind from it, and taking the feeling from it, and making it our own. And this is altogether false, altogether stupid. But it's been a necessary cultural device, I suppose, for making man more self-aware. But now I think it's time he sent it back to store.
How would you say that you send it back to store?
Well, as a matter of fact, this is a way of speaking. I don't think you do send it back to store. You let it go where it belongs. And I think it's raring to go. And you see who you are, and you see that there's no place here for the mind to store things. I mean, there's no storehouse here. There's no way of holding thoughts and feelings to the center. They are center, of course. They do belong to the world. And then your world becomes a living world again. In some sense, it really all comes to life.
It seems a different approach from psychology's approach to try and sort out this collection of hang-ups that one has at centre.
Why, it is, and I think what psychology's take might be here is to try and sort it out in centre, and there isn't room to sort it out, it's too congested. And the sorting out, I think, is letting it go. And you let it go to where it belongs, and this is a kind of putting through several sieves, isn't it? You sort things out by sieving them. And the regions are sieves, and my thoughts about the stars go along through lots of sieves and end up on the stars. And my thoughts about you go through a small sieve and may end up on you. And so, in a way, the sorting out of my mind, the universe is a series of concentric sieves or sorters, which do sort out my mind. And you say, well, that's just wrong. Clever way of putting it, but it isn't. I think it's true. I think that the trouble with the mind is this supposed abstraction of it from the world, and its supposed imprisonment, its supposed connection into a nuclear, mysterious thing here, which is unthinkable, unworkable, and in fact very troublesome. And the mind really sort of goes wrong by a kind of misapprehension about it, about where it is and to whom it belongs.
To see this is to see the world in a very different way. It's very remarkable, isn't it?
How do you mean remarkable?
Well, instead of asking what kind of a mind one has, to see who has the mind.
Yes, it's quite different. It's quite different.
It leads you onto a completely different level.
Yes. Yes, I think it takes the heat off the anxiety, takes the heat off the out of the problem. All this anxiety about whether your mind's in good shape, all the complexes and problems of the mind arise from the whole thing being overcrowded. It's a case of overcrowding and congestion. And it's illusory. And it's really it isn't changing it, it's just letting it go where it wants to go. Opening the window and letting it out in to where it really wants to go. And I really think there's tremendous relief in that. And then it's not perfecting the mind, because the world is imperfect in every way. And the mind still, one still experiences sadness and confusion and anxiety and pain and all those other things, as well as the positive things. But I think seen as characterizing the world and not as a personal hang-up,